At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
A warmer from below. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast with myself, Greg Eupius, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And we've got a tremendous podcast for you. In the second segment, Jimmer, he does absolutely terrific work over there at the three-man weave, is going to be joining me. We're going to be talking about some of the decisions that we've made thus far in the transfer portal, how we've seen a lot of big-time guards enter into the transfer portal these last few days, schools that have impressed him with regards to their transfer moves, and how we've seen some mid-majors really utilize the portal very well. And one conference that is not utilizing the portal very well. So we're going to have a great chat with Jim in the second segment. Then in the final segment, going to give you guys a little bit of a roundup as to everything that we want to see in college basketball on Tuesday, as that's going to be like 38, 39 minutes long. We had a lot of transfer decisions, so I'm going to have a lot of takeaways there. A lot of schools that wound up making moves, so that always makes this podcast fun. And if you do want to get interactive with this podcast, you've got one or two ways to be able to fire in a question, comment, segment idea, just anything that you want to hear on this podcast. First one is my Twitter timeline, at GUnit_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, name does not matter. So as per usual, please send these into the timeline. Other ways, via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. Had this question from a few of you guys, so I'll address it right now. Is the transfer portal good for college basketball? I vote in favor of yes. Now, I think that we could all be in agreement that some of these guys, that they wind up transferring to like 4 schools in 4 years, they utilize that fifth year, and oh boy, it's school number 5. That's a little bit of overkill, but picture yourself being a 17, 18-year-old kid, and you wind up getting penalized because you have a little bit of a change of heart because of what you wound up deciding while you were a senior in high school. That doesn't seem fair to me. I think that the one-time transfer rule, it is very good. Now, you don't want it to become like free agency, and you wind up having guys chasing championships, the academics, it means absolutely nothing. I think that we can be in agreement right there that that's not necessarily the way that you want to be going about it. But if a kid winds up seeing a better opportunity, and here's the other thing as well, if a coach winds up leaving, these kids should be allowed to leave as well, because a lot of these kids, they wind up going to these schools because the coach is going to be able to utilize them in a way that might be able to get them to the NBA, that's going to be able to get him more exposure, he's going to be in a system that really helps him out. When you wind up having that, I think it should be open game with regards to these kids that they wind up entering in the transfer portal. So if you do wind up seeing a guy go to 4 schools in 4 years, if it's because of a coach runoff every single year and he just winds up being a guy that is in a unfortunate situation, which every single year he winds up going to a school and that school winds up canning their coach, well, there's not a lot that you can do about that. At the same time, I do think that there is checks and balances, and I've been addressing this on the podcast quite a bit. When it comes to these transfers, as of right now, I'm assuming that all these guys are going to be eligible. We wound up seeing it last offseason. If we do wind up seeing some waivers wind up getting denied, I certainly will be addressing that, and you'll be hearing that in the final segment. But I take a look at what has happened the last few years in college basketball, and these mid-major teams have been more feisty than ever before. I feel like the divide between conferences like the Atlantic 10, the Mountain West, insert your middle-of-the-road conference here, and schools like the Pac-12, the Big 10, the Big East, I feel like that divide is smaller, and I would argue that it's been better because while so many people were fearing that these guys that wind up tearing it up at the mid-major level would go up a level, and we certainly see the other effect of it, and we're going to be talking about this with Jim Root, is these guys that they don't wind up seeing a lot of minutes at insert your power school here wind up going down a level, and then they wind up getting an opportunity as well. And if you've been in college, you know that there's a lot of normal school, there's a lot of normal students that they wind transferring as well. Not because of like any sort of a sport or anything like that, not because of extracurricular activities, things like this, but just because of the academics themselves. And not every single one of these transfers is due to just basketball in general, because I mean, we're seeing it with Dawson Garcia. He wound up stepping away from the North Carolina program due to some issues that were going on in his personal and his family life. Now he's going to be closer to home. He's going to be playing at Minnesota, where he wound up playing his high school basketball. So I think that that's a good thing. And you do wind up having quite a few normal students that they wind up having that as well. I was at UW Oshkosh. We wound up graduating class of 2015, and I wound up seeing a lot of my friends wind up transferring schools, not because of just a poor experience or anything like that, but they wound up having life in general get in the way for them. They wound up not necessarily being in the program that wound up suiting them the best, and there was no penalty for them. Why should there be a penalty if there is a college basketball player that they wind up finding themselves in a similar circumstance? Once again, there is a case in which, as well, when you wind up having some of these guys go from like four schools in 4 years and they're just literally riding the bench trying to chase a little bit of a banner, that's not necessarily what you want right there either. So I do think that it's about checks and balances. At the same time, I do think that overall it has been good for college basketball in general. So that's just my thoughts there. And I know that Jim is someone that sees the transfer portal as a good tool for these colleges to use as well. So coming up next, we're going to be chatting about him, about what we've all been seeing this college basketball offseason. And we're going to get his thoughts on some of the schools that have been utilizing the transfer portal the right way. That is up next, right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hughes Peterson, now part of the Visa Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
We'll be right back. Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Eustace, and now part of the Beeson Family of Podcasts. And it is great to be joined by our guests, as all three of the gentlemen over there at the Three Man Weave do absolutely amazing work. And no exception to that is Jim Root, a man that, much like myself, began his life in the great state of Wisconsin and now lives out here in lovely Las Vegas. And for the Three Man Weave, they did great work all season long with the Field of 68 Action Network pick-wise. You're able to catch these guys all across the country. And for Jim Root, you're able to follow him on Twitter at Second Chance Points. That's a number 2ND on second. And for the Three Man Weave, that's at the number 3MW underscore CBB. And Jim, it is always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Greg. It's been a little while, but hey, we're into the offseason. We got a lot to discuss. College basketball has really figured out how to stay in the discussion, kind of the way the NBA and the NFL always do in the offseason. We've now got quite a bit of topics to discuss with the college basketball offseason, and we don't hate that.
Nope, not at all. We have seen a lot with regards to the transfer portal, and I know that there have been those that are saying that the portal is a little bit weaker this season than it was last offseason, and let's call what it is. It probably is just a little bit of a tad weaker, but I've really noticed last week or so, we have really seen a charge on guys entering into the transfer portal. Kendrick Davis, it looked like he was going to be testing the NBA draft waters and said he just wound up entering in the transfer portal. Tyrese Hunter is in there. Yuri Collins, both of these guys wound up entering on Monday. And it feels like one of those cases in which it started off slow for a lot of these big names entering into the transfer portal. You're even able to take a look at someone like a Kenny Lofton from Louisiana Tech who entered a week ago. But ever since the end of the NCAA tournament and Kansas got down the nets, we've seen a lot of big names enter. And I think that this is going to cause for a very interesting May, June, perhaps even into July with these player decisions.
Yeah, it does feel like there's always, it comes in waves a little bit. You know, there's the guys that enter right away and they clearly were just waiting to transfer, and that was their plan all along. And then sometimes you get guys that it takes a little bit. I mean, the coaches' discussions that they have, or they see some of the guys that the team has brought in and they decide to do it late. But yeah, so sometimes it makes sense. If you're a team that really needs players, there's the debate between, all right, how much is it worth going to get guys now, or do we want to lurk and kind of reserve some scholarships to try to attack some of these late additions to the portal. I don't envy the coaches that are trying to figure all this out and strategize it, but I am happy that the players have this outlet and a way to, if they deem it necessary, try to correct or better their circumstances.
I agree with you, and I do think that it is important to take a look at some of these guys that they do wind up entering the portal late and they wind up making their decisions late, because I think a prime example of this was Louisville. Now, the fact that Chris Mack was suspended, that just added injury and insult for them, but Mason Faulkner was someone that we thought going into the transfer portal, wherever he wound up landing, he'd be able to be a relatively solid fit. Winds up going to Louisville very late. You wind up having Chris Mack suspended. Now Chris Mack is out of a job, and Louisville had one of the most disappointing seasons in all of college basketball. Marcus Carr going to Texas. He winds up coming to Texas very late. Didn't like the fit to start with. Turned out to be a big, giant disappointment for Texas in year number one under Chris Beard. And I do think that this is important to really take a look at, because these guys that they commit relatively early, they seem to be able to get their legs underneath them. And you can see some late bloomers like Remy Martin, for instance. He wound up going to Kansas relatively late in the process. Rough beginning part of the season that was coupled by injuries late in the year in the NCAA tournament was able to come together. But I do think that the timing that these guys wind up committing to schools is something that you do want to be taking note of, because we really don't get a chance to see a lot of these offseason workouts or something like that. But I feel like this last season showed just how important it truly is to be able to gain that chemistry.
Yep, 100%. You know, keep an eye on that. And then this year, I think maybe we're going to get a little more of a resurgence of those foreign tours where the teams take the trip overseas and get a chance to go through a bunch of practices together, play some games. I saw that Butler announced one. I think they're going to Italy and Greece. So they're going to have, you know, those opportunities to try to get Ali integrated into the lineup and get everything figured out with Thad Matta taking over as the coach of that program. So that's another thing to keep an eye on. Even if it is a team that has a ton of new pieces, do they have a chance to come together with something like that where you're going above and beyond your normal off-season workout regimen and you're getting a chance to play together and practice together? So that's another thing to keep an eye on. I think Jeff Goodman at Stadium usually has a really good list on that. I'm sure we'll see it as we get closer to the season. Not quite yet, but just something to keep in mind as these rosters are slowly but surely coming together through the portal and the NBA draft decisions.
And you mentioned Butler, and they're a good example of this as well, as we do have Jim Rood of the Three-Man Weave joining me on the podcast. We've also been seeing a lot of assistant coaching news coming out the last few days, and Butler landed both John Diebler and Greg Oden. Well, those are guys that anyone that is being recruited, they have certainly heard of. Thad Matta coming over after he was out of the game the last few years with regards to being a head coach. He was helping out over there at Indiana this last season. But I take a look at that, and I think that's going to be an absolute boom for recruiting. And I think that gauging just your staff in general, that's one of the toughest things to do in college basketball, because some of these guys who are the best recruiters are guys that we're going to call what it is, the casual, even I would say above average fan in college basketball, have really never heard of. But when you wind up attracting some of these big names like a Greg Oden, that's something that I think you've at the very least got to take at least a little bit of note of.
Yep, 100%. They're going to develop guys. I think that also, you know, can help with recruiting. Just the idea that a big man can go learn from Greg Oden, that, you know, maybe he didn't have the greatest pro career, but that name still means something to people. The talent that he had, the potential he had, and really the impact he had at Ohio State going to the Final Four in his one season there. Diebler has made quite a name for himself in the basketball tournament. I know he made a bunch of jumpers as a Buckeye, but then also in the offseason in that tournament as well. Being able to have guys like that that carry some weight with the recruits that are coming in, the potential transfers, the freshmen, I think that does matter a lot. Thad Mata's a smart guy. He's not going to be sitting idly by. I think those guys will be a part of their transfer and recruiting visits as well. Like, if they're bringing in a big guy, he's definitely going to get to meet Greg Oden, talk to him, and pick his brain a little bit. So it is smart to have guys like that on the staff, no doubt.
Yep, absolutely. Greg Oden, a man that certainly knows how to be a dominant big man out there in college basketball, so unfortunately knows about dealing with injuries as well. But I think that anyone that would be able to get the chance to be able to talk to Greg Oden, pick his brain, they're probably going to be thoroughly impressed, just like I'm thoroughly impressed with how some of these schools have been performing out there in the transfer portal. Mutual friend of ours, Evan Miyakawa, he does a great job of being able to engage the effectiveness of some of these transfers, and found it very interesting in his rankings as of what we were seeing Tuesday afternoon. The Bryant Bulldogs, number one on the list of teams that are going to be able to make a little bit of an impact with the transfers that they're getting in. I mean, Bryant, you take a look at what they've been able to get in, and it's been absolutely remarkable. You bring in Earl Timberlake, a former top 50 recruit. That's massive. You wind up bringing in Doug Edert. Now, I think that he might be getting a little bit more of a boom than he probably deserves, because we all wound up seeing last St. Peter's go to the Elite Eight, so his talk is higher now than it's ever been. But as said, one of the better sharpshooters you're going to find in all of college basketball. Chancey Hawkins, someone who 2 seasons ago at St. Francis of Brooklyn was a 15-point-per-game scorer. He's going to be going in there. List goes on and on for Bryant. I am very impressed by them, and I do think that it has been interesting to see how so many of these mid-majors have been able to build their programs through this, and I do think that Bryant is a little bit of a poster child for this and what Dan Grasso has been able to do the last few years.
Yeah, definitely. One thing I'd throw in with that number one ranking is that I do think both like 24/7 Sports and maybe Evan Miyakawa's rankings, there's a little bit of a bias towards quantity over quality. You can only play 5 guys at one time. Let's remember that. Bryant plays up and down, but last year they were only 267th in bench minutes. They definitely leaned on their starters more than you would have expected. So having 9 guys that are exciting, it only helps so much. Only 5 are on the court at one point. But yeah, the transfer portal is a huge tool for the mid-majors. I think the initial reaction was, oh goodness, we're going to lose all these mid-major guys up to the big boys. They're going to transfer to the Power 6 and want to seek that at-large bid. And while that is true, there are guys that are making that step. You are doing yourself a major disservice as a mid-major coach if you're not hunting these down transfers or finding the guys that want a chance at more playing time or winning. Bryant has done a great job of selling that. They play a very fun style. They get up and down. They have pretty much a green light for everybody on the court at all times. They take a ton of threes. So you add all that together and there's a lot of shots to go around. Grasso's done a great job of selling that. But then everybody else needs to maybe take note of that. I don't know if it's always going to be style or if it's going to be role that matters to these guys, but there are players in the portal that can help you. Anybody that's just kind of grumpy and mad that it's hurting the game is missing out on an opportunity to make their team better.
And I do think that these, I guess you'd call them middle-of-the-road teams, they've been able to do a great job of this as well, because in those rankings, number 2 is a team that they play a little bit faster, no question, but they're very much more of a defense-oriented team. Bryant in the bottom half of all college basketball last season in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, and this team certainly was not. That would be UAB. They wind up bringing in the Brewer brothers. They wind up having them commit very early in the process. They bring in someone from LSU and Eric Gaines, a former four-star recruit. They've done a great job bringing in guys like a Trey Jemison. We don't know what's going to be happening with Jelly Walker at this point, who wound up averaging 19 points per game. He's in the NBA draft, but he has yet to decide if he's going to sign with an agent, if he's going to stay in or not. So that's a little bit to be determined, but they built up their program through that. Obviously, a little bit of a higher level of basketball, but still, Houston, they have completely built their program on a lot of these transfers as well. And I do think that for a lot of these mid-tier teams as well, they've been able to do a great job of being able to go from maybe a team that they make the NCAA tournament, but they don't make a ton of noise, to being a team that is able to take that next step, like a UAB, who was really underachieving the last few years prior to Andy Kennedy coming in. And then Houston, a school that they were a fringe top 25 team. Now they're competing for Elite Eights and Final Fours.
Yep, you got to take advantage. I think UAB has been just a terrific example of this. And last year, Andy Kennedy loaded up on guys kind of the same way we mentioned Bryant, where they had maybe a surplus of guys and not even enough minutes to go around. But they played a pressure defensive style, got to use that bench a fair amount. And sure, one or two guys probably didn't end up with the role they wanted. But if you're going to that portal year after year, as long as you are consistent with the work ethic in contacting all those guys and recruiting them and everything, clearly you can find a system that works. UAB didn't end up making the tournament, but they were a top 50-ish KenPom team, and they really had the ability to make a run had they actually gotten in. So I'm a big fan of the coaches and teams that take that approach. It can really be a positive thing for your program.
Yeah, but I do think that there have been a few teams out there in the American, like Wichita State, who have been doing a very good job of utilizing the transfer portal, bringing in some good talent, and they've really been able to elevate their programs as a result, as we do have our good friend Jim Rudo, the three-man weave, joining me on the podcast. And I take a look at what I've seen this offseason, and a lot of teams have been able to get better. I take a look at the Big East, all the coaching moves that they've made, all the moves that they've made in the transfer portal has been absolutely tremendous. The one conference I think has really not necessarily done a great job this offseason, though, I take a look at the Big Ten, and it's really been a rough go of it. Like Penn State, they're bringing in two transfers, Andrew Funk, Cameron Winter. We've seen them the last two offseasons bring in these guys from low major conferences as guards. They try to step up a level. Didn't wind up going well for them last season. I like Funk. I like Winter, but I don't see how these guys wind up competing in the Big Ten. As we know, a school like Wisconsin, they're really not going to be doing much out there in the transfer portal, and this is obviously subject to change. You could wind up seeing Michigan wind up going out there and being able to land one of those big guards, and all of a sudden, things wind up looking a little bit different for them. But we've really seen nobody that wound up making the NCAA tournament last year from the Big Ten wind up making a splash move. And I would argue right now the biggest move that anyone in the Big Ten has made was Dawson Garcia going to Minnesota. And I feel like while all these teams are doing a great job of utilizing the portal, all these teams are really getting better in the offseason, the Big Ten has just stood pat. They're sort of stuck in their own ways of these recruit, have them on campus for 4 years, develop sort of approach. And it's clear that the game is passing them by a little bit.
Yep, you got to use it. If it's there, you might as well use it. I know Tanner Holden from Wright State's headed to Ohio State. That's probably the biggest one that's happened so far.
Yeah, and Dawson Garcia, I would say, as well.
Yep, for sure. And, you know, hopefully he's able to get back on the court after the personal concerns that he had last season. I know there's been some mentions of Terrence Shannon potentially to Michigan, Nigel Pack potentially to Purdue. I think he's got some ties there. So maybe, like you said, the dominoes haven't all fallen quite yet for the Big Ten. But I want to say that was a consistent trend with last year, too. I haven't run like a full conference analysis with a lot of the transfer tracking that I do, but I think the Big Ten was a little behind the eight ball last year as well in terms of getting true impact guys. And you know, maybe it doesn't always work perfectly. You mentioned Texas at the top, the way that didn't work out. And Auburn got a lot of benefit from Walker Kessler and their guards. They didn't get far in the NCAA tournament. They still got a two seed. Those schools should be a little more willing to take guys to fill roles, especially if you know you can get some of these higher level guys that performed well elsewhere. It's worth taking a stab. So we'll see if a couple more of those Big Ten schools catch a few more big fish before the end of this offseason.
Yep, I have to think that there's going to be a little bit of something coming. But at the same time, I think that it's going to be much like what we wound up seeing last offseason, where Indiana and Ohio State, to their credit, they wound up bringing in quite a few transfers last offseason, but they were really the only two, other than, once again, Minnesota, which, well, they had to out of necessity, because when you wind up having a coaching change, that causes for a mass exodus. So they had absolutely no choice other than to hit the transfer portal. And Jim, just when it comes to what we've all seen this offseason, the Nets have been cut down for now about 2.5 weeks. Has there been a few teams in general that you've taken a look at what they've done this offseason and you've really been impressed by them? Because I feel like there's been a lot of moves that have been made, both with regards to coaching moves and with regards to transfer portal. And I'm just curious to see what schools you would wind up giving a relatively good grade to.
I'm a big fan. I think I will probably continue to be a big fan of what they're doing at Florida. I think Todd Golden was a great hire. Richard, Bonham, and Fudge were pretty solid additions via the portal. They got Kawasi Reeves, I think, stuck his toe in the portal and came right back out. And then getting the fifth year for Colin Castleton, I mean, that's massive. Whenever I looked at that team in the past, kind of no matter the roster, I always felt like maybe there's a little bit of a ceiling on it with Mike White. But Golden, I think, can access a higher ceiling. Look how good he had San Francisco last year. Now he's got the resources of a Florida. I think that is a team that can really make a big leap forward. And really not so much a team that has done a ton with offseason moves. I just continue to be enamored by this Houston roster. I think as long as Marcus Sasser leaves the NBA draft and comes back to college, I think the Houston backcourt combined with the way Kelvin Sampson develops bigs, I think there's a chance he gets one or two more big fish from the portal, particularly in the front court. I think Houston is going to be excellent next year. I'm currently sitting on them as my number one team, and I feel pretty decent about it.
Yep, Houston is certainly going to be one of those teams that in those way too early top 25s, they're going to be highly touted. It feels like really they and Arkansas are those top two teams right now, and it's hard to disagree in my opinion, especially with the injuries that Houston wound up putting up with. And if it wasn't for the fact that they went one of about 575 from three-point range against Villanova, they would have made the Final Four. So thoroughly impressed by what Kelvin Sampson has been able to do there, and I'm always impressed by what you're doing, Jim, because you and the other gentlemen over there at the three-man weave, Ty and Matt, do absolutely amazing work. And I know you guys are going to be hard at work this offseason. You guys do a podcast of your own that you're able to get wherever you find this podcast. So love the good people at home. Know it's all on tap for the three-man weave this offseason and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Three-man weave podcast, college basketball podcast. That'll be coming either weekly or once in a while. We'll take a week break, so every 2 weeks. But just checking in on some of the latest developments that way. We'll do a couple fun episodes. We always do a Jeopardy trivia episode in the offseason. Going to have some good guests on, so keep an eye out for those. The previews probably won't start rolling out until July, so it might not even be worth mentioning those on threemanweave.com. It'll mostly be the podcast, a little bit of writing mixed in here and there. We're going to do a little work with the Field of 68, a couple coach interviews with them, so that will be out there. We'll be pushing that on our social media. 3MW_CBB is the Twitter and the Instagram, so keep an eye out there. Pretty much everything we do will get funneled through that handle, so if you're interested, check that out, and I appreciate the opportunity to plug that stuff.
Absolutely. Jim doing absolutely amazing work over there at the Three Man Weave, and all the gentlemen at the Three Man Weave, every single time they join this podcast, they deliver the goods. Today it was Jim that joined me, so big thanks to him for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the V's from Family Podcast, and coming up next, saw another interesting day of college basketball movement on Tuesday. Lots of player moves made, so we're going to be recapping that next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Hoops Pearson, now a part of the VC Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
We're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Spears, and now a part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. And it is always a pleasure to get our good friend Jim Root of the three-man weave on. Guy does absolutely amazing work over there, and really all three gentlemen you're able to throw in there, Kai and Matt, they all do absolutely incredible work. They join this podcast quite a bit, and they always deliver the goods. So big thanks to Jim for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Tuesday. Mentioned really the biggest piece of coaching news, Greg Oden, John Diebler, they're going to be joining the staff of Butler, so that is going to be helping out with regards to recruiting. Not sure what they're going to be teaching with regards to the game, but trust me, with regards to a recruiting standpoint, I think that that is going to be a big boom for them, and when you're able to add John Diebler and Greg Oden to your coaching staff, I always encourage you to do so. So good on them for being able to get them into the fold. We are seeing Coppin State doing a good job in the transfer portal as well. Sam Sessions, who averaged right around 12 points per game last season at Penn State, is coming in, and now they wind up landing Justice Winston. Wound up beginning his career at St. Bonaventure last year at Robert Morris. Wound up being a part-time starter, 8.5 points, 3 rebounds per contest, shot 32% from three as a 6'8". Little bit of a stretch player. Coppin State, coached by Juan Dixon. It's a MEAC that is very, very winnable, in my opinion. They're starting to stack some talent together, so another good ad for them, and I like what Coppin State is doing this offseason. It certainly isn't quite what we're seeing out of Bryant or anything like that, but they made some good moves, and this is another one for them. Dewan Gordon, who wound up playing at Missouri last season, began his career at Kansas State. He has decided that he is going to be going to New Mexico State, and New Mexico State did it with Teddy Allen last year. He was a top scorer for Nebraska. He came in and he was a lightning rod. And Dewan Gordon certainly wasn't the top scorer for Missouri or anything like that, but a guy that was starting out there in the SEC, 8.5 points, 4 boards, shot 36.5% from three. Really the only guy for Missouri that could make a 3-point shot last year. He's coming in, and this is absolutely tremendous for them. Missouri, they are really doing a good job in the transfer portal themselves. I'll talk about the addition that they wind up getting on Tuesday in a second, but New Mexico State, year in and year out, they wind up being able to land these big fish. Now, without Chris Jans, it's going to be a different looking team, but this is a good place for them to be able to start. And then Missouri, they wound up getting a player on Tuesday in Nick Honor. That is going to be helping out in the backcourt, and you just take a look at the way that this team has been able to hit the transfer portal. Sean East, in my opinion, the best JUCO player out there. He is going to be coming in. You've already got now Nick Honor, a guy that in the backcourt last season while he was at Clemson, shot right around 32.5% from three-point range, was able to put up 7.7 points per contest. He is going to be coming in. You wind up seeing Trey Gomillion along to Moy Hodge come in for Missouri as well, as they wind up following their coach Dennis Gates from Cleveland State now with Missouri. Do have to be questioning the size a little bit with regards to the team. You're going to need a little bit more rebounding because now you're up against the big boys in the SEC. Noah Carter along DeAndre Golson. Both of these guys right around 6'5", 6'6". So that is really the one thing that I take a look at Missouri and they're lacking a little bit. But I love what Dennis Gates is building. I do think that it's probably going to take a year for Missouri to really get back online, but Dennis Gates, I think that he's going to be able to win. I think that he could wind up winning big at Missouri. He's making good moves out there in the transfer portal. This is just another of them. Jack Clark, who was last season playing at LaSalle, he has decided that he is going to be going to NC State. And while he was at LaSalle last season, on starting 23 games, put up 12 points, 6 rebounds per contest, shot right around 30% from three-point range at 6'8", has good versatility with NC State. It's been a very rough go of it for this team when they wound up losing Manny Bates last season. That was absolutely brutal for them. I like Kevin Keats as a coach. I just take a look at it, most likely losing Daron Sebron along Tre'Quavius Smith to the NBA. Jericho Helms had been there for forever and a half. I did think that they are really going to be up against it, so they're going to need more if they're going to be even semi-competitive out there in the ACC. Jack Clark, a guy that I think could wind up playing a couple minutes off the bench, but he is not a starter out there in the ACC grand scheme of things, so it is going to be very imperative that NC State winds up making that not the only move that they make out there in the transfer portal. Devin Askew has decided that he's going to be leaving Texas, and this is a case in which he just wound up being marred by the fact that Marcus Carr wound up committing to Texas late. We were talking about it with our good friend Jim Root. A lot of these guys that they wound up committing to schools late in the transfer portal process wound up hurting both themselves and the program, and Askew was probably going to be seeing some solid minutes for Texas before Carr wound up getting there. Instead, wound up seeing 15 minutes per contest, only wound up putting up 2 points per game at Texas after season before at Kentucky. Now, a downtrodden Kentucky team was able to start 20 games, had 6.5 points, 3 assists, 2 turnovers per contest. You can tell that he's a little bit raw and is never going to be a guy that lights it up from 3-point range, but a former top 35 recruit according to ESPN and really all these major publications. He is going to be a guy that if you're looking for a little bit of a reclamation project, if you're looking for a guy that is going to be able to come in and he's going to be able to contribute for you, certainly, Devin Askew is towards the top of that list. Michael Lucarotti, who was playing at Youngstown State this last season, did not wind up getting out there on the floor. Redshirted, he's decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal. Not a whole heck of a lot there, but Diego Willis, he was playing at Stone Cold Stephen F. Austin this last season. He has decided that he is going to be going into the transfer portal. What is up, Willis? As he was playing at NJIT last few years, and at NJIT during the 2020-21 season, proved that he could be a solid cog on a solid team. Was able to put up 6 points, 3.5 rebounds per game this year at Stephen F. Austin, which is very much a system fit because they do such a good job of being able to generate turnovers, but certainly not a team that goes out there, shoots a lot of threes, and you've got to be playing very good defense if you're going to be able to perform for them. Wound up only putting up right around 2 points per contest, so it was a little bit of a rough go of it for him. He just wasn't a fit with their system, so he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Would be very surprised if we wind up seeing this gentleman back at the D1 level, Tyler Foster, who has played at Mississippi Valley State and really never played for Mississippi Valley State. Began his career at East Carolina, wound up playing at Youngstown State, couldn't really find his niche at either school. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal, so his long and winding road continues. Jordan Nesbitt, he's someone that he can perform at a relatively high level, and I was talking about Ocampo State looking very good out there in the MEAC. Part of it is because Hampton wound up going away from the conference a few seasons ago, and now Hampton, they've had a little bit of a tough time out there in the Big South. This is what they needed, a guy that's going to come in right away, and he's going to be able to put up numbers. As Jordan Nesbitt, he is coming in. He wound up beginning his career at Memphis, played at St. Louis last year, and was a starter for St. Louis. 8.5 points, 4.3 rebounds, shot 34% from three-point range. This is absolutely massive for a Hampton team that they really relied upon two guys last year. Najee Garvin, Russell Dean were the only guys that gave this team more than 8.1 points per contest. You really had a team in which it was a bunch of misfit parts after these two guys. Being able to bring in someone like a Jordan Nesbitt that's able to take over the game, as long as you're able to add even a little bit of depth. You don't need to have a team that they're going 10 deep or anything like that, but you can't have what wound up going on last season where you had two guys doing everything and everyone else was standing around sort of with their fingers in their nose, picking it and trying to see if they could swallow it or not. That was not necessarily too great for them, but having a guy like Nesbitt coming in, absolutely massive for Hampton, so that certainly helps them out. You wind up seeing Malcolm Clements, who just did not wind up playing at all at Eastern Michigan. He's decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal. Would be very surprised if he winds up staying out there at the D1 level. This gentleman, you figured he was going to be staying out there at the D1 level, though, and he has decided that he's going to be staying within the state. Noah Dates, he was playing this last season at Stanford and really wound up seeing right around 14 minutes per contest, was a little bit banged up, wound up putting up 4.5 points per contest. Needs to work on rebounding, not a guy that really hits a glass, but shot 43.2% from three-point range as a 6'3" guard. He's heading to Loyola Marymount. This is big for Loyola Marymount because they lost Joe Quintana earlier in the offseason, who I feel like is one of the most underrated sharpshooters in all of college basketball. They've been relying upon Eli Scott, who's been there for seemingly 17 years. Right now, he's going to probably be able to team up as long as he doesn't transfer with Kelly Leupape. I think that he's going to see starter minutes right away, and this is big for a Loyola Marymount team that, under Sam Johnson, I was expecting a little bit more from them. We thought that this could be a year that they wanted busting out in 2021-22, and not only did they miss the NCAA tournament, well, they wound up just not even being able to have a winning record in general, so that was not so great for them. But being able to get a guy like Tate's in the transfer portal from Samford, that is solid for them. Julian Marble, he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal this last year for Michigan State. Mr. Marble was able to put up 6.5 points, 3.5 rebounds per game. It was a nice depth piece for the team. At 6'8", not a guy that's going to go out there, hit threes, but if you're looking for a guy that down low can be able to give you some good production, and if he winds up going to a little bit of a lower level of competition, certainly could be a guy that winds up being able to light it up. That's going to be big for them. So he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Going to be curious to see where he winds up going. We have someone from Mary College. You typically don't see Mary College go up to the D1 level, but North Texas is going to be taking a shot here on Kai Huntsberry. Huntsberry this last season at Mary College, which, if you're wondering, he actually wound up beginning his career out there in San Diego City Community College, so this is a long and winding road for him. He completely lit it up. 19.5 points, 4.5 rebounds per game. He stands right around 6'3". From three-point range, this guy was really able to put it up. Shot 41.5% from three-point range and 83% free throw shooter. Someone who does a good job of being able to give this team right around a steal per contest as well. Good plus defender. He was out there in the Northern Sun Intercollegiate Conference. If you're wondering who some of their main forms of competition are, well, this is not necessarily the monsters of the Midway that they're playing. It's out there at the D2 level. They wound up playing a lot of schools like Winona State, Minnesota State, Mankato when it came to a lot of their conference games. So it is involving a lot of those D2 schools that you wind up finding in the state of Minnesota, out there in like South Dakota, places like that. Upper Iowa is another school that they wound up playing against as well. So going to be intriguing to see how he winds up doing with the step up in competition. But North Texas has been able to do a very good job of being able to find some of these diamonds in the rough. Huntsberry, someone that I don't think is going to wind up getting starter minutes, but I do think that he can come in, be a little bit of a sharpshooter for this team, and we've seen those guys have a lot of success with North Texas, so a good get for them. Bryson Goudin, a former top 100 recruit, he has said that he is going to be transferring away from Providence after last 2 years at Providence. Just did not wind up coming together for him. Averaged 7 minutes per contest. He wound up putting up 1.8 points per contest. Shot 30% from three-point range. Guy with a lot of talent, but has just not necessarily been able to find his niche. Probably was a little bit overrated coming out of high school. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. You wish him nothing but the best, but guy that just has not proven it at this point. If he winds up going down to a lower level, I do think that he could be able to have himself some very good production, but that remains to be seen. Michael Severino. The big thing with him is that he is the godson, I believe, of Coach K. He decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal. Averaged 1.1 points per game for Duke. He's most famous for being a part of that whole incident that involved Paolo Banchero with regards to the drunk driving situation. I think that he was actually like the driver or something like that in there. So not necessarily the world's greatest pub there. What sort of a player is he? He wasn't really highly touted. The reason why he wound up going to Duke is because of his ties to Coach K. So we're going to see where he winds up ending up. But he decided that with Coach K now in the fold, that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. So you wish him well. Akolada Mwane, aka better known as Akul Mwane. He was playing at Oklahoma this last year. It's another get for Sacramento State. Now, this is not someone that is going to come in there and is going to be lighting it up on offense, but this is a guy with a 6'8" body. He's going to be able to play some solid defense, and with Coach David Patrick and his ties to UC Riverside, that's exactly what he's looking for. Good plus defenders. Mwane, I think, is going to be able to come in there, and he's going to be able to do that right away. And you take a look at the haul that Sacramento State has had. They're looking like a team that could really rise out there in the Big Sky, because they wound up getting another good defender in Colin McRae, someone who's 7'1", 295 pounds, 100 marks. is someone who's a 6'9" combo player, was able to shoot it well from three-point range while he was at Hartford, was a part of that NCAA tournament team from a few seasons ago. Now you wind up bringing in Mawane, someone who stands right around 6'8", 225, able to be a good rim defender. This is a Sacramento State team that they're probably going to be grinding teams down to a crawl. They're not going to be necessarily lighting it up from three-point range or anything like that, but this team is going to be good defensively. That is another nice gift for them. It is very clear what this team is looking to do, play defense, 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 and I think that they're going to be able to rise up there in a Big Sky that doesn't see a lot of defense. Chi Evans, he wound up playing two seasons ago at San Diego State. This last year did not wind up playing at all. He decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Actually, did wind up committing to UTEP, just did not wind up seeing the floor whatsoever. 6'5", 210-pound gentleman that was pretty highly touted coming out of high school. A relatively solid shooter from what I wound up seeing on his high school tape. Certainly someone that has yet to be able to find it at the college level, but he has decided that he is going to be transferring elsewhere. Shaquille Moore, who wound up having a relatively solid year at Mississippi State this last season, wound up starting in 29 games, 8.5 points, 2.5 assists, steal and a half per contest, shot right around 31.5% from three-point range. Not necessarily the master of anything, but a guy that was a Swiss Army knife, did a lot of things quite well. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of power conference teams that want him as a little bit more of a glue guy, or if he winds up going down to a little bit of a lower level, like Conference USA, we're going to talk a little bit more about UTEP in a second, he could really be able to tear it up there. So Shaquille Moore, going to be a name to watch out for here in the transfer process. You wound up seeing Keontae Kennedy, who played at UTEP this last season, wound up missing half the year due to injury, but still played in 19 games, lit it up with 14 points, 6 rebounds, 1.8 steals per game, shot 32% from 3. He's out there in the transfer portal. Wound up beginning his career at Xavier, didn't wind up seeing a lot of minutes there, and here this year at UTEP, was really able to bust out. And if you take a look at what wound up happening after he returned from injury, because he wound up missing darn near 2 months in the final 7 games, he still looked like himself. 15.5 points per contest, shot about 33% from 3, 6.5 rebounds, a steal and a half per game. So he proved that after the injury that he wound up suffering, he could be the same player that's going to be very big for him moving forward. So him entering in the transfer portal, I think that there's going to be a lot of folks that are going to be interested in him. Bubba Parham, he wound up having some interested suitors in his services as his season pretty much ended before it started. He wound up playing 2 games at Georgia Tech, wound up getting injured, and boom, he was done. Wound up beginning his career at VMI, and now he's going to be heading to Samford. And Bucky McMillan has been able to do a great job with Samford, and if he winds up getting the guy that we wound up seeing at VMI, this is going to be a great get. During the 2018-19 season, so in the Wayback Machine for VMI, he was one of the top scorers in all of college basketball. 21.5 points, 3.5 boards, 3.5 assists, shot 39.7% from 3 on 9 threes per game. So it's not like this guy was just very much picking and choosing his threes. He was taking them from all over the place. He was hitting them from all over the place in his 2 real seasons at Georgia Tech. I think that the 2-game season that we wound up seeing this year, not necessarily indicative of it. Wound up seeing a dip in production, 6 points per contest. A little bit of a case of which I do think that the size of 5'10", that being out there at the ACC level, did not wind up helping him whatsoever. But I do think that at a lower level like the SoCon, he's going to be able to tear it up once again. So a good get for McMillan and company, Trey Maddox Jr. He's decided to go to Western Michigan. And here's something we haven't been able to say a lot. Western Michigan with a rare win. During the 2020-21 season for Maddox, while he was out there with Cal State Fullerton, 16 points per contest and shot 41% from 3. Big dip this year, 9.5 points per game. Did wind up improving his defense as he was able to generate a little bit over a steal per contest, but shot just 32.5% from 3. Fullerton in general, they were able to do a much better job on defense. On offense, it was a little bit rough for him. And Maddox, he's got a little bit of familiarity with this portion of the country. Wound up beginning his career with the Grizzlies of Oakland. And during the 2019-20 season while he was with Oakland, averaged 9 points per contest, shot 34.5% from 3, 6'6" combo player. I do think that his 3-point shooting going to be a little bit better this season, and I do think that he's going to be able to make an impact for a Western Michigan team that, boy, they need anyone whatsoever to be able to make an impact because it has been rough sledding for them, to say the least. So that was a very impactful transfer for the Broncos. Nicholas Cartholom, he was beginning his career at Duquesne, wound up playing at Niagara this last year, and for 2 seasons during the 2019-20, 2020-21 season, so a combined 40 starts for Niagara this last year. He wound up playing 5 minutes per contest, but take a look at the 2 years that he wound up actually seeing meaningful playing time, averaged right around 5 points, 3.7 rebounds per game, was able to be a solid rim protector for Niagara at 6'9".
He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Like I said, big dip in production this last year. At a lower level, he can be a good blue guy, a little bit more of a defensive stopper. Going to be interesting to see if he winds up being able to catch on with a D1 team. Malik Edmund, he has decided that he is going to be going away from Merrimack as well. As we know, Merrimack is a program that with the, I always call it psycho zone, it's more of an amoeba zone that they wind up playing. It's one of the most distinct styles in all of college basketball. They really rely upon all five guys knowing the role. And this last year, while he was with Merrimack, 9.5 points, 1.5 steals, 2.5 assists per contest, shot 38% from 3. 5'10", the size is a little bit of a concern for you, but someone that clearly is able to do a wide variety of things out there in the backcourt, someone who is able to shoot it well from 3-point range. The question is, can he be able to distribute a little bit better? But someone that I think if he winds up going up a level, he could still be a relatively solid player. Angel Smith, he was playing at Samford this last season, wound up seeing action in 10 games, just didn't wind up contributing much as well. He wound up entering into the transfer portal. You got to think that Bubba Parham coming in, he's going to replace Angel Smith. That's a trade-off that if you're Bucky McMillan, you're going to take that every day of the week and twice on Sunday, so not necessarily too much of a shock there. Robert Ford III, who wound up actually having a big impact while he was with Idaho State during the 2020-21 season, began his career at Clackamas Community College out there in Oregon. He has decided that he is going to be heading a little bit closer to home at Montana State. This last season, he wound up being banged up, was limited to 9 games. In the 9 games, he wasn't too bad. Wound up having 10.5 points, 4.5 rebounds per game, but things wound up going off the rails for Idaho State when he wound up going out of the fold. Was shooting 40% from 3, by the way. And in his full season at Idaho State, 11.5 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 36.5% from 3. A little bit undersized at 6 feet tall, but with Montana State, they do have a couple losses out there in the backcourt, and Robert Ford has proven that out there in the big sky, he's able to be a big-time contributor, so that is a very solid gift for them as long as he is healthy, and I think that that's a big if here. He's going to be able to contribute in a big way for them. Carlton Lingard, he was playing Kansas State this last season. Meep Meep, he's going to be joining the Roadrunners. Someone who at 6'11", 215 pounds, has a little bit of a unique skill set. Is not afraid to shoot it from 3-point range, shot 36.5% from 3-point range during the 2020-21 season, and actually wound up beginning his career at the junior college level at Temple Community College. Typically, it takes some of these JUCO guys a few years to be able to develop. He was one of the more highly touted JUCO guys during that 2019-2020-ish period. So I do think that he's going to be able to come into UTSA, do a solid job. As a matter of fact, 24/7 Sports had him as their number one JUCO center for the year 2020, has a unique skill set in which he's able to pop a couple threes. So UTSA, a team that really, really needs a little bit of a spark after they wound up losing Keaton Wallace along with Javon Johnson from a few seasons ago. They just could not replace those guys last season. This is going to be a solid gift for them. Marcus Banks, who was playing at Western Carolina this last season, he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. For Mr. Banks, well, I don't think that he's going to be making any sort of bank, but that said, he averaged 7.5 points per contest, wound up starting for about half the season, wound up seeing 15 starts for this Western Carolina team. Does need to improve his three-point shooting. Took 6 threes per game, only shot right around 29.5% from three-point range, but a true freshman who wound up being able to see some more minutes towards back half of the season, and to add to that, what he was able to do towards back half of the season was very big. Now, someone had to wind up seeing some minutes over there for this team because, well, things were not necessarily going well in general, but you do take a look at what he was able to do from, we're going to call it December 22nd on, so more towards Christmas time. He was able to put up in that time span right around 8 points, 4 rebounds per contest. 3-point shooting, once again, was a little bit off, but you really didn't have anyone to be able to dole out the ball whatsoever, but I do think that he's going to be able to make an impact wherever he winds up going, a young guy with a lot of promise. So he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Tyron Frank, he was last season playing at Vanderbilt. He has decided that he is going to be transferring as well with Frank. Just did not wind up seeing any playing time whatsoever. He had a little bit of promise, wasn't necessarily a super highly regarded guy. Actually began his career at TCU as well, where he wound up, once again, just not being able to latch on at both stops. Wound up averaging right around 2 points per contest. Guy that actually, while he was at TCU at 6'8", wound up shooting 38.5% from 3-point range, obviously. It was on a small sample size, but he has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Got to wonder if he's going to be exploring his options, perhaps go down a level, see a lot more playing time. I think that that's going to be of consideration there. Jonathan Comengham, he was last season playing at Sacramento State, so while David Patrick is bringing in some talent, he has also taken a loss with this one as well. he decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal line, was a good rim protector for this team. You got to feel like Sacramento State moving in a little bit of a different direction because he did a solid job down low. 6 points, 6.8 rebounds, block and a half per contest. Clearly not a guy that was able to space off the floor, but it seems like it was probably a case in which he was not going to be a fit for David Patrick. So instead, you wind up bringing in all the big men that I was going through a little bit earlier, and you wind up losing Kuminga in the process. So you wind up hitting some, you wind up missing some. And speaking of missing some, if you are Clemson, this is not necessarily so great. Jalen Llewellyn, who was set to come in from Princeton, he decided that he is going to be reopening his transfer process as last season while he was at Princeton, and he had decided about 2 weeks ago that he was going to be heading to Clemson. He averaged 15.5 points, 4 rebounds, 2.5 assists, shot 38.5% from three-point range as a part of an offense that ranked in the top 20 with regards to overall efficiency, and this is someone that wound up in his home game shooting 44% from three, did wind up having some demonstrative home and road splits, but certainly someone that was going to come in, he was going to immediately give this team some pop and some sizzle. He has decided that he is going to be not going to Clemson, and he's going to be entering into the transfer portal, so that was not so great for them. This is great for Rutgers, though. How about Cam Spencer, a guy that was out there playing in the state of Maryland for Loyola Maryland? He decided that he is going to be going to Rutgers and one of the most efficient players in all of college basketball in terms of years in which he's actually been able to have good enough of a log to qualify. Been one of the top players with regards to assist to turnover ratio for his career at 3.1 assists and 1.2 turnovers per contest, and this last season at Loyola, 19 points, 4.8 rebounds, 3.2 assists, 2.3 steals on 35.5% three-point shooting. First 2 years, he shot 43.5% and 46.7% from three-point range. So someone who's really able to light it up for this team, he's going to come in. He's going to be able to help out that backcourt immediately. So a great get there. Yaya Kita, with all the additions that Missouri is at, they had to have a couple subtractions, and his side that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal, 1.2 points, 1.2 rebounds per game, is a little bit of a local guy, wound up being born and raised out there in the state of Missouri, but decided, I guess, that the program was not necessary for him, so he has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Will Felton, he was last season playing at Arizona State. He has decided that he is going to be going to North Carolina A&T. Someone who stands 6'8", 240 pounds, just could not wind up getting out there on the floor. You take a look at his recruiting grade, and he's someone that is 6'8", 240 pounds, has a pretty unique skill set, and for North Carolina A&T, they need any sort of outside shooting whatsoever. So nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Right there, not a guy that is necessarily going to be able to provide a whole heck of a lot of that, but was a former top 225 recruit, someone who has some good athletic ability, is able to guard multiple positions. You should be able to come in and be able to give North Carolina A&T a little bit of a spark after all the transfers that they wound up bringing in. It just felt like it was one Buster-Rooney after another, so they need to try to hit on this one because now out there in the Big South, it is a much higher level of competition than they are used to. Jamie Burgens, he last season was playing at Oral Roberts. I actually wound up seeing a start for them, 2.5 points per contest. Shot 50% from three on a relatively small sample size. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Not a guy that wound up making a lot of an impact, so it's not expected that he is going to be landing with any team that is too special. That cannot be the case for Mr. David Jones, though. He made a big impact for DePaul this last season, and he has decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal. Started all but one game in which he wound up playing in, 14.5 points, 2.5 assists, 1.7 steals per game. Wound up having the first triple-double in the history of DePaul's program, and DePaul's been around for quite a while. A guy that stands right around 6'6", shot about 30% from three-point range, not necessarily his forte there, but wound up putting some absolutely monstrous numbers, especially when Javon Freeman, Liberty, was out of the fold. When you wound up having that go down, this is a guy that he really wound up kicking into high gear that game against Georgetown, 22 points, 14 boards, and 10 assists, so a very good skill set right there. He is out there in the transfer portal, and you've got to think that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be interested in his services. There are quite a few folks that were interested in this gentleman's services, and he has decided that he is going to be joining the tag team of both William and Marius. Mateus Case has decided that he is going to be heading over there. Someone that just did not wind up seeing any playing time whatsoever with Providence this last season. Wound up playing in 4 games. He wound up averaging 1.5 minutes per contest. So not a guy that is going to be coming in there as necessarily going to be barreling down the hatches. Actually began his career with the Quakers of Penn. stands right around 6'5", buck 90, is able to shoot a couple threes, but I would say if you're hoping for William and Mary to be able to rise out of the cellar of the Colonial, you're probably going to need someone else to be able to come in there, because I don't think that he's going to be making too much of an impact. Taj Fraley, who was playing at Alcorn Sadie, has decided to go down to Cumberland University. Not necessarily too much of an impact guy, but this is very easy for your handicap. All you need to note is that, all right, someone like Mr. Fraley, he was at the D1 level, he is no longer at the D1 level. You just cross him off your list of players that you need to evaluate and move on. So makes things all nice, neat, clean, and easy there. Kevin Baxter, very unfortunate story here. Guy that the last 3 years wound up dealing with injuries. During the 2018-19 season, he was playing at BYU and wound up having a relatively solid freshman year. He averaged 4.5 points, 3 rebounds at a block per game as really a little bit more of a rim protector, 6'9" sort of guy. Last 3 seasons, he wound up playing a combined 17 games, injuries in every one of them. I mean, he was able to get out there on the floor the last 2 years, was averaging right around 6.5 points per contest, but just things were marred by injury. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Could be a case in which anyone that decides to roll the dice in, if he's able to be fully healthy, they're probably going to be getting themselves a relatively solid player. Just a case in which, is he going to be able to stay healthy? That's the question. The talent is there with Mr. Baxter, but you've got to wonder how much the injuries have robbed him of it. So you wish him nothing but the best. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. G&I Thompson, he has decided that he is going to be transferring away as well. Was playing at Boston College this last season, and as we know, it's been a really rough go of things for Boston College the last few seasons. I do think that Earl Grant is actually going to be able to do a relatively solid job with this program. And if you take a look at Thompson, he was ranked right around 170th in the country with regards to 24/7 Sports' recruiting rankings. A guy that at 6'8", is able to pop a couple threes, has good athletic ability, but just could not wind up getting out there on the floor in general for Boston College. So whoever winds up getting him, and if he winds up going down a level, probably he's going to be able to tear it up out there, is going to be able to get a solid player, in my opinion. So he has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. You've also got Chase Johnson. He decided that he is going to be staying within the state as he was last year playing for the Hatchers of Stetson. And now Mr. Johnson, he has decided that he is going to be playing for Florida Gulf Coast. So he's had, as a matter of fact, staying within the conference. And this last season for Stetson was able to be a very big contributor for this team. Started all 30 games, 15 points per contest, steal and a half, assist and a half per contest, shot 40% from three-point range on 8 threes per contest. The native of Boca Raton should be able to come in, should be able to make a very big impact for this team. And you take a look at the way that he was able to wrap up the season, because he did wind up seeing one of the top players in Rob Perry decide to enter into the transfer portal in the month of January and decide to leave the program. Final 10 games of the season, seal and half on 20 points per game, took 9 threes per game, shot 40% from three-point range. So Johnson, a certified bucket getter, he has decided that he's going to be going to Florida Gulf Coast. And while Florida Gulf Coast winds up getting that addition, they did wind up losing Kevin Samuel. He wound up last season shooting right around 30% at the free throw, which that is not great, but he is a big man that actually wound up starting at TCU a few years ago, 11.5 points, 9.7 rebounds, 2.9 blocks per game, and he's going to South Alabama. South Alabama, a program that they really pride themselves on defense. They didn't necessarily have ideal size this last season. This is going to be turning itself around. Now you've got yourself a 6'11", 255-pound dominator who wound up actually doing good work out there at TCU, at Florida Gulf Coast, a little bit of a lower level. He was able to tear it up there as well. This is an absolutely tremendous gift for a South Alabama team that year in and year out, they've been a solid team out there in the Sun Belt. They haven't been able to bust through and make that NCAA tournament really ever since they wound up losing to Butler in like 2009-2010 in the NCAA tournament. So this is a great step in the right direction. I absolutely love the way that they've been able to utilize the transfer portal in recent years, and this is great for them. So he has decided that he is going to be transferring over there. Christian Davis, he was playing at the D2 level for the Lemoyne Dolphins, and he has decided that he is going to be heading to Bradley. The Braves getting very creative with their recruiting, and this is someone that is not going to go out there and is going to go scorched earth with regards to the scoring. Wound up putting up right around 12.9 points per contest. Someone who is an okay distributor, wound up giving you a little bit over an assist per game, 6.5 rebounds per game, but is a guy that shot 91% the free throw line, 35% from three, 6'6", a little bit of a combo player, has decided to head over to Bradley. I'm thinking that this is really going to be a depth piece and a depth piece only. And if it is, well, that's relatively solid, because when it comes to Bradley, they did wind up taking a tough blow with Terry Roberts deciding to transfer out of the program, but got to think that if you're going to go down to the D2 level, you probably want a little bit more production. Once again, I think that he could be able to play a few minutes for this team, but certainly not a guy that you're going to be trying to build your program around. Cameron Carter, he was playing at Mississippi State this last season. He decided that he is going to be heading over to Kansas State. I do like what Jerome Tang is building over there at Kansas State. Someone who averaged only about 2.5 points per contest, shot 30% from three-point range, but a guy with a lot of ability, wound up coming from Oak Hill Academy. We all know about how well they wind up being able to groom these guys to be able to perform at college and a little bit beyond that. You take a look at how he wound up being rated going into his college career, and this is someone that was on a lot of people's radar. 24/7 Sports had him rated as the number 114 recruit in the class of 2021. Needs to work on his jump shooting a little bit, in my opinion, but someone who had 6'3", is able to guard multiple positions, is able to do a solid job of being able to handle the ball, is willing to play defense, that is going to be solid for them. How about a little bit of bait and switch here? It looked like Texas Southern was going to be able to get Josh LeBlanc, and I thought that he had a chance to be one of the best defenders that we would ever see out there in the SWAC. Well, now he has decided that he is going to be going to Nichols, and that makes Nichols once again a force out there in the Southland for LeBlanc. He wound up actually being one of the better performers at Georgetown during the 2018-19 season. At 9.7.5 rebounds per game, not a guy that's going to step out there and shoot threes, but certainly a plus defender. He was at a school in UAB that was one of the best at being able to generate turnovers. Nichols, this is a team that they really want to get out there. They want to be able to generate a lot of steals, so I do think that this is going to be a seamless fit with him having that experience at UAB. It's a little bit of a disappointment this year. 4.5 points, 5 rebounds per game. I was expecting a little bit more from him, considering he began his career at Georgetown, played for a year at LSU, but when it comes to a college like Nichols, he should be able to go in there right away, and he should be able to dominate. So that is a very good get for Nichols. And then Sir Jabari Rice, he is a 3-time All-WAC performer. He has decided that he's going to be heading to Texas. I question how many minutes he's going to be seeing in this Chris Beard style. Now, this last season, while he was at New Mexico State, solid player. 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Not really a master of anything, but master of being able to be sort of a Swiss Army knife sort of guy. Shot 34% from 3-point range this season. A little bit of a downfall from the last two seasons. Last two seasons was shooting more in the pocket, about 37.5% from 3-point range as a 6'4", once again, Swiss Army knife sort of guy. I think that he'll come into Texas. He'll be a good glue guy, but I question how much of an impact he's truly going to be able to make. So that's going to be interesting right there. But Chris Beard, once again, is going to be in the portal. We all know that he's going to be able to do so. I can't think that Texas is done, and I have to think that this is just step number one. We wound up seeing Jack Clark transfer away from LaSalle a little bit earlier, and now we've got Christian Ray, who has decided that he is going to be going to Delaware. For Ray, he wound up starting in 18 games this last season and was really the team's top rebounder. 5.7 rebounds per contest. It's a Delaware team that they've had good success with guys like Dylan Painter being able to do some good work. Austin Carr wound up leaving the program in the transfer portal line. He's pretty much a Austin Carr clone at 6'6". Needs to work on the three-point shooting. Only wound up shooting 27.5% from three-point range, but has good versatility. Having played at LaSalle and having played at a relatively solid level, I do think that that's going to bode very well from him out there at the CAA level. So he decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal and heading to Delaware. So that should be able to help them out. Daniel Ogoro, he was playing at Youngstown State this last season, wound up putting up right around 2.5 points per contest, shot 31.5% from 3-point range. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Someone who did not wind up seeing a lot of minutes towards the early part of the season, towards back half of the season, wound up being a little bit hit or miss for him. So guy that he just was never really able to live up to his billing. 6'5", okay 3-point shooter, but not a guy that is necessarily going to be going bombs away from 3-point range. Has decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal with all that Youngstown State has brought in this offseason. He had to have a couple of casualties, and he is one of them. And then the Nevada to Arizona State pipeline continues as he did wind up seeing Warren Washington decide that he was going to be transferring to Arizona State. He follows Desmond Gambridge, who was playing in Nevada last year. He was able to put up right around 15 to 16 points per contest, and he followed suit. And with Washington, a true 7-footer that was able to give Nevada last year 10.5 points, 1.2 blocks per contest, 6.5 rebounds. Not a guy that's going to go out there and shoot threes, but a 7-footer that wound up missing a little bit of time last year due to injuries, was limited to 22 games, but certainly someone that's going to be able to help out an Arizona State team that was actually relatively solid on defense. And then we wound up seeing two NBA draft decisions as well. David McCormick, of Kansas and Jules Bernard of UCLA decided to put their name in for the NBA draft. Unclear if McCormick is going to be signing with an agent or not. I'm pretty much assuming that he is, because this is someone who is a former top 40 recruit that's been on campus for 4 years, 10.5 points, right around 7 rebounds per game, but that does not tell the full story of Mr. McCormick, because he really played his best basketball towards the back half of the season. There were times in which David McCormick was not good at all. I think that that's putting it about as fairly as I can put it, but January 15th on, when you wanted to see the heat of conference play, more like 12 points, 7.5 rebounds per contest, shot 81.5% at the free throw line, so was able to do a solid job there. And then Jules Bernard, he has not signed with an agent, a former top 50 recruit that this last year was really his best year. 13 points per game, 4.5 rebounds per contest, shot about 34% from three-point range. Now, we did wind up seeing Jaime Jaquez declare a little bit earlier in the week that he is going to be going back to UCLA. You've got to wonder if that's going to be weighing on his mind at all or not, because with Bernard, final 11 games of the season, he wound up putting up some of his best performances with 15 points per contest, shot in that time span 40% from three-point range, a little bit over a steal and a half per contest as well. So 6'6" combo player has decided that he's going to be entering in the NBA draft, and we're going to be tracking that and so much more right here on this podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, getting prepared for the next college basketball season. We've got 1,400 players in the transfer portal, so it is truly a year-round job, which is why we don't take any days off on this podcast. And if you do like what you're hearing from Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, one of you for this podcast, you've got one or two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letter CM, name does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. A big thanks to our good buddy Jim Root of the Three Man Weave for joining me in the second segment. I'll be coming at you guys every single day this year on this podcast, which means I'm coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.